Bible study items mentioned are there for the bulletins. Someone asked why we're starting with lesson 5, 1-4 to the vacation. Well, we did 1-4 last fall. So again, try to use March and September kind of outreach focus months, equipping the saints. So we did 1-4 of lifestyle witnessing last fall. So now we're going 5-8 more really during this month. There's a method to the madness. Helping back the seniors. So, we ask again, do people know that you are a Christian? If so, how, if not, why not? You don't have to answer out loud. It's not meant to make us feel guilty, per se, but not enables to think. Sometimes opportunities come before us and we're able to take advantage of them. Sometimes opportunities come before us and we missed it. Maybe it wasn't the right time, so again, not always beating ourselves up. Sometimes there's a reason why the Holy Spirit keeps our lips sealed.
That one Thursday night class we talked about, how you should
sit
and look like a Christian?
Yeah, right? So I think you're beating you. Digging deeper class, it's like somebody in T-shirt say, do I look like a Christian? It's kind of like do you have a Christian emblem on the back of your vehicle? Did you drive like you were a Christian? If it says St. Mark's and you run red lights, take it off.
We have a friend that on the back of his bumper says, do you follow Jesus as closely?
Yeah. Good. Well, again, we take the time to, I mean, every day, every week, every service, Bible study, in a sense, has an outreach vibe to it, because we're not only to take in the Word, we're also to spread the Word. But again, the specific focus is a reminder of, again, what our purpose, our mission is, our objective is here as a church, but not just as a church body, individually. Because again, the church and the church body is made up of individuals. So we just want to freshen up again, what can we do to share the gospel in carrying out the objective, the mission, the purpose that God has given to us. Again, what is our goal when it comes to witnessing the gospel? Souls for heaven, right? That's the softball question. If they become members of the church, great. It's really that people get to know Jesus and get to spend eternity in heaven. Again, if they become members of the church, that's the gravy, we like to say. Because we get an opportunity to grow together in faith, and also then they get an opportunity to help us grow. You know, as iron sharpens iron. But our goal is not to do outreach just to grow the church, physically, but spiritually, the invisible church. So again, the tool that is necessary to do that is not our own tools. Again, we talk about pre-evangelism and then evangelism. Evangelism is the actual sharing of the gospel message. Pre-evangelism are those things that lead up to that. So like our community connection events would be pre-evangelism. Either on campus or off campus, we offer events for the purpose of not only nurturing members, fellowship opportunities, but hopefully a non-threatening way to invite family and friends who are not sure about the church then, or Jesus, and a soft introduction to our church and ministry. And hopefully they come away with a favorable impression. But again, those things are necessary in the sense that they're pre-evangelism. They're setting the table for an opportunity to be evangelized. It may not happen at an event. It may not happen immediately. Maybe it's the second event they come to. Or maybe because they've gone to an event, they're ready to come to a worship service or a Bible study. And now you get to the evangelism aspect of it. So again, some of the things that we do on campus, we're always tweaking it a little bit. Some's geared for the school, but it's not just for the school, it's geared for the church. It's a way for church members to interact with the school families. It's also then for the church families, what we do. We're always working on that list. But then off-site, off-campus, now that COVID hopefully has passed us to some degree, and, we can go back to I think Rouge Park, right? And we have that Sunday fun day that's coming up. We used to have a booth there, and we hand out games and so forth. So now that's scheduled again. We're going to set up a booth again. We've asked Tyler Wall, he's now our vice principal, to be in charge of recruitment for our school, and that's one of the recruitment tools that he's going to be overseeing. So if you want to learn more about that, how you can be of help, you can talk to Tyler or call Stacy at the school office. Because we do want people to be at the booth in shifts, maybe, just at the table, maybe hanging things out, or people come to the booth, you can have a conversation. You can't go outside the booth too far. I know a couple years ago, Brett Engel and I were throwing football outside our booth, and that way we were engaging people. And we fudged it a little bit. We didn't hit too many other people. Just the ones with kids. Anyway, so again, those are opportunities. Again, individually, what are some things you can do that would be pre-evangelism with the goal of leading to evangelism? That's true, right? I mean, just that kind of that shirt. You know, if you're going to wear that shirt, you know that I'm a Christian. You're going to want to act Christ-like, salt and light. Not, as we say, crusty and rebellious. Right? Other ways that you can do pre-evangelism individually with the goal of evangelism. Yeah, at all times. Like you were saying, like when you go to the store or when you're playing cards or whatever. Other ways you can invite somebody up for a cup of coffee, right? Maybe that first cup of coffee with a friend that you want to have a spiritual conversation with may not be that first opportunity, but a second cup of coffee or patio, maybe invite somebody over to your patio for a barbecue or whatever it might be, when it's safe to do so in here. Yeah, bottom line, how we talk, how we act, in season, out of season. Right? So opportunities, in a sense, are endless. Which brings us to today's focus, get ready to speak. And as Steve emphasized too, in season, your conversation. Declare God's promises is the goal. Let's start with the worship. We'll read responsibly. Psalm 145, I will exalt you, my God, the King. I will praise your name forever and ever.
Every day I will praise you and exalt your name forever and ever.
One generation will commend your works to another. They will tell of your mighty acts.
They will speak of the glorious splendor of your majesty, and I will meditate on your wonderful works.
They will tell of the power of your awesome works, and I will proclaim your great deeds.
Celebrate your love and goodness, and joyfully sing of your righteousness.
They will tell of the glory of your kingdom and speak of your might.
So that all men may know of your mighty acts and the glorious splendor of your kingdom.
My mouth will speak in praise of the Lord. Just a quick recap of the psalm there. Some key words. The second line, make your first response. Every day I will praise you. Every day we have opportunity to be salt and light. So it's not really a time off. Christianity is not one day, 2 days, or 3 days. It's 24/7. 365 plus leap year. And what's our goal of every day praising the Lord? The next line down, that one generation will commend his works to another. That really is our purpose, our goal in life. In the family setting, the church setting, the school setting, whatever it might be, that the next generation continues to know the Lord and why. So we always emphasize that in catechism class. I'm not just going to give you passages to learn just to do memory work, but passages that will hopefully make an impact in your life. The rest of your life. So why are we learning a particular passage? We have that responsibility again to commend God's works to the next generation. So it gives us opportunity to reflect. How are we doing that? Moving down halfway in bold print, celebrate your goodness. How often do you celebrate the goodness of God? Even in the tough times, right? And again, his mercies are new every morning. His goodness is still there. Reasons to celebrate are still there. Because that ache and pain and that trial and tribulation, not that we're minimizing that, but what does that remind us of?
That we're sinners.
That we're sinners, okay? Consequences of sin, whether it be a direct consequence or indirect. Heaven to look forward to. Right? This is temporary. So it's a reminder that this is temporary. It's a reminder that we are flesh and bones. But God's goodness still prevails. And then the next one in bold, that again, all people may know of your mighty acts. Why do we do what we do? Why do we glorify God? Why do we go with the gospel? So that we are fed and in turn we can feed others, that they may know of God and what he has done. Which leads to that prayer, Lord Jesus, help us tell others who you are and what you've done. Amen. Alright, for witnessing activity, spend a few moments talking about witnessing joys and frustrations, triumphs and failures. Anyone have a triumph or a failure that they would like to share? Thought to give him Jesus?
Well, last couple weeks on my Facebook, I sent this post from Atheist Republic, and they do it probably 10 times a day, they put something on. And so I started clicking on it, and then I look at what they're saying, so I started responding to all these people. And one day I went out for about 2 hours, and I don't recommend this to everybody. but I just figured maybe one person, if I can reason with them a little bit, you can get them to move. But they're vicious. I mean, cold. They don't put up any sort of reasoning.
Right, and they're trained, right? I mean, they are well, many of them are well trained how to be kind of calm under pressure, hold their ground.
I got a really heavy feeling from it.
So Dave was just talking about how he was on Facebook and trying to have a conversation with somebody, an atheist. All atheists, you know, hopefully trying to reason with them, at least one of them might, you know, stop and think. Well, again, you planted seeds, right? We can't convert. We plant seeds. And sometimes the witnessing convicts them further in their unbelief. You know, the Lord emphasizes that too. So you get there without excuse. Truly, they were without excuse. The word is there. It's been given to them. Great.
If all we have gear or shirts or whatever that has our school or our church's name or logo on it, and so I wear around my St. Mark's polo shirt. I was at the fitness center, and a guy who was even older than I am he said, I went to that. I went to that school. And they got a little bit closer to talk to me, and he looked at it and said, "Oh no, mine was St. Mary's."
Oh.
and I said, "Well, Luther was a Catholic once too."
Conversation going on what you wear. And to your point, what we wear in public, right? Even if it's not St. Mark's gear or something, right? They can strike a conversation. And part of that, if you're in an elevator with somebody and you take a look at them, not because you're trying to be creepy, but you're, what can I do to engage them in a conversation? You know, real quick, I was coming back from the mission board meetings. So I'm on the, we're in Vegas and I'm going back to the car rental place, and I think the guy across from me is wearing a King's Chicken logo. And so I just thought, that's good chicken. That led to a 5-minute conversation. I learned more about King's in 5 minutes. It was all good stuff. But just that, you know, engaging the conversation. And Lord willing, if that was a local thing, that could lead to something else.
You know, it's interesting though, because even your friends that know you're Christians, they still are watching what you're doing.
Yes.
And they're still paying attention. I had a friend that commented to Carrie, and she goes, "Does your mother ever swear?" And then she goes, "Well, she can let go." The point is, your friends, you don't realize it, but even the people that you're friends with that are really good friends, they're still watching what you're doing.
And they are watching, because this goes back to Dave's point too, right? I mean, people are kind of waiting for Christians to trip up. And you remember the conversation of, it wasn't necessarily applying to Christians, it was related to political parties. Well, we expect one party to act like that, we don't expect the other, so when that party acts up, it's a big deal. Same with Christians. Well, the unbeliever, well, we expect them to mess up, but when you Christians mess up. I mean, Christians, we overall get forgiveness, but the world doesn't understand forgiveness. And that's not a license to sin, but yes, we never claim to be perfect, but they assume that we claim to be perfect. And so they'll wait for us to trip up.
I was at the grocery store, I just walked and had this big shirt on that said abortion on the front, and then how it would be pronounced in parentheses, and some other stuff. And I was trying so hard to think of something I could say to her that wouldn't come off. You know, after I got home, I think I could have said, "I noticed your shirt. Why do you believe in abortion? Or how did you come to believe in it?" Or something. But I couldn't think of it, but maybe I'd start something.
No, that's a good point. So if you see a shirt that's offensive to us in God's ways, we're definitely tracking what society's thinking today. Do you react to it? So, okay, in that case, you're definitely a proponent of abortion and the woke emphasis of today with the pronouns. You know, maybe, you know, sometimes too, you gotta remember, are we just throwing pearls at pigs? Time and place, we're gonna get into that a little more. What's the time and the place? And what might be the right time for, in this situation, may not be the right time in that situation. So, you know, that's a good illustration. You know, it's a good point. Sometimes too, when people say that Jesus is in the right crowd, you can say, hey, he's here. Yeah, or I believe him. Yeah, right?
Yeah, I just said I'm going to smile.
There you go. That's good. Yeah, have you noticed, like in the workplace, where if they knew that you were a Christian and you didn't like that language, that they would cease when you were around? But I don't know that that's the case anymore.
Yeah,
can
somebody tell?
Well, I mean, you can tell them, but I mean that they care. Because even like going to a ball game, if there was a child around, they would watch their behavior. But that's not happening anymore. Sometimes even the child's got a worse mouth than the adult. But part of that is intentional, right? I mean, we've noticed, and not that we watch a lot, but just on TV and even in conversations, the F word is just flying out. I mean, it's always been there, but it just seems like it's intentional in Hollywood to make that word popular, even more so. Steve?
I had a guy I used to work with, and we got into a couple of arguments on abortion and capital punishment. And I used to ask him, I said, do you believe in capital punishment? Oh, no, no. Do you believe in abortion? Yes, I said. Is that backwards or what? I said, can you explain it to me? Yeah. Then he would tell me to shut up.
You know, on that front, right, when you talk about abortion, you get that mixed reaction. But as soon as you start talking partial birth abortion, because people didn't know what that was necessarily, they're going, oh, I didn't know that. But sadly, I mean, a few years back, you could talk about partial birth abortion, they go, well, that's not right. And then lead into it, my own abortion's not right. But even now, partial birth abortion is accepted. And no one can argue anymore that it's not a life. And they can't stand anywhere, medically and scientifically, that they know they're killing a life. As one doctor said, that life doesn't speak, so mom doesn't want it. You know, so anyway, Paul, you're here.
You know, I hang out a lot with these old golfers, you know, about 50 of us.
Keeps you young.
And so, you know, several things happen a lot. So what I try to do is I try to let them know I care about them. I don't talk about politics, how you doing, how's the family, how's this. And once you do that, it opens the door tremendously. It gives you an opportunity to tell them you care about them. You let the people know you care. I had one instance where his wife just got Alzheimer's and he's beside himself. And I came home and told a friend about it. She sent him a little booklet on Alzheimer's. Mm-hmm. She mailed it to him. He has never forgotten that. He said, that helped me and my family right. Through the most difficult part of our life.
No, it's a good point. So, you know, showing care to people, because you're right, people don't care how much you know until they know you care. And there's different ways to do that. So just do that, send you that book. The guy knows that you were listening and that you show care. You didn't have to verbally say something, but you're putting a connection. And there's so many materials out there that it can be as subtle as that, or a note, right? A note of encouragement. Because again, part of that building rapport is listening. Yeah. And so the art of listening.
But the rest of that story was he told the other guys. And then one guy came up to me and says, Paul, could you pray for me? My son just got an accident.
See?
They came to me and asked me to pray for him. I thought that was outstanding.
So how an act of kindness can lead to further opportunities to share the faith. Good point.
What the abortionist people, they know it's a baby. So what they've done is changed the term. It's no longer a baby. It's a reproductive byproduct.
Right.
I mean, that's it. You know, that's how we get
that's it. That's what we do over time. Right? It's still the same sin, just to cross with something else. So in your bottom line, you recognize that we all have opportunities of frustration when it comes to witnessing, and also opportunities for joy. And when people accept your invite to come to an event or come to worship with you, or they want to learn more about Jesus, that's great. And again, you don't have to feel like you have to be the one who takes them all the way through the Bible. And again, you can bring them to a class. You know, or bring another friend, hey, you might come into our Bible study group that's in the home or whatever. It doesn't have to be on you. I remember, I think I told you something before, one pastor, he started this big class, he had everybody open up the Bible, and he opened up to Genesis, and then the person in the class said, are you going through the whole book? You know? That can be a little intimidating. sucks. Unfortunately, there are sometimes people make you feel inferior. It's like Carolyn's situation. You could have said something, and that could really come back negative on you. But again, not that you shouldn't have done that. I'm saying how that can come back where you're made to feel inferior. Like in the school system, you know, one of our students had that. This is so many placards on the wall in the hallway, and was reading the different ones, and there was one that was a Christian group that assembled and so forth, and the person said to that teenager, "Oh, you're not one of those, are you? Because if you are, we're going to make your life miserable." Well, needless to say, that student no longer attended there because of the pressure that came the next few days. So again, the pressures that are in our school, it's not our parents' school anymore. Even in grade school, it's not our parents' school anymore. And so we need to be aware of what our children. That's what, you know, COVID did have that good effect on our families, parents. Many parents learned what their children actually were hearing and studying in school, and they're fighting back. But what's happened is they're fighting back. School boards are, not all, but school boards are clamping down and saying, no, they're ours, they're not yours. Some parents are happy to get rid of the kids, sadly, but some parents are fighting back. And so there is a war. There is a culture war going on, not just within the church, but also outside the church. And we need to be ready. All right. Introduction. What do you have strong feelings about? Is it a special brand of car, or a style of music? Your style of home, the latest book you read, your grandchildren, your pet. On the next page there, whatever it is, it's on your own. Formulate a sentence. Pick one of those topics. What are you passionate about? And how do you reflect that you are passionate about it? You're passionate about abortion.
My son used to bring his friends home, and they tried to make him do this if they're having big discussions. I mean, people, I don't understand them.
Okay. And so, people are trying to engage you, they would know you're passionate about it. You know, again, the point of that is we'll talk freely and willingly and openly and on about, you know, whether it be the car or the house or the sports team or whatever. Are we as passionate and willing and free to talk about the one thing needful? And that's why we all need that encouragement, because whether it be family intimidation, I mean, Jesus made it clear, right? Family is sometimes going to go against family and make you feel like you're the problem in the family when you're the one who's trying to heal the family and so forth. So God help us be just as passionate, even more so, about the one thing needful, and be willing to speak up when the opportunity presents itself. But what is one reason why some people feel that they're not able to speak up when it comes to the Bible? Yeah, they feel like they don't know it well enough. You may get that JW that knocks on your door, or that Mormon, and what are you impressed by? Other than the white shirt or black tie in 112 degrees.
They know what they're supposed to say.
They know what they're supposed to say. Yes, right? But again, JW, Jehovah's Witnesses are required to attend multiple times a week, and they learn specific passages, so it looks like they have this great knowledge, and they have of that particular section that fits within. Well, what can we do about it?
I think a lot of times we know the verse, even though we may not know and we may even know the book, but we can't do chapter and verse, so we think, okay, I can't say anything.
Right, and you know, that's okay too. I mean, part of that memorization and catechism is at least you know where it's coming from. I mean, we have phones, you know, apps now that we can find that, type in a word and give us the passage. But the best Bible that we can have is the one that we commit to memory. Right? And so again, whether we get the chapter and verse, or even the words verbatim, but we got the gist, so that's the starting point. But again, part of it is just reading the Bible. Can we grasp the Bible after one reading through? No, it's an ongoing. It's a book we'll never get fully grasped. And how one part sheds light on another part, the more we get into it. And maybe it's reading the Bible as is. There's one-year Bibles, there's two-year Bibles, there's three-year Bibles to break it up. You can take the catechism and use the catechism day by day to take a section, a couple questions. You know, don't force yourself to say, oh, I gotta spend an hour today. But maybe you don't get that hour. Something else comes up, but you got 15 minutes. That's okay. You didn't get as far as you wanted to. Now take the people's Bible and read through those. I mean, there's so many ways for us to equip ourselves. And maybe we think we don't know it, but what did the Holy Spirit promise? He'll remind us of what we need to know when we need it, because that Rolodex is working. Right? If you had that conversation where you shared the faith or shared some great word, pearls of wisdom, and all of a sudden you go, thank you, now the Holy Spirit has reminded you.
One of the benefits of these people that quote chapter and verse is to give another verse that contradicts it. You may not have to know chapter and verse, but just like, throw it at them and see what happens there, because they don't know what that is. Where's that? In the Bible.
Right.
You know, I mean, why don't you look it up? You know, and that those are the times you do things.
Right. Dude.
If you engage any of these people, or you could even get books about it, like Apologetics, you see them, what they say, and it makes you go and start looking up verses. And there's all kinds of helpful books for that.
Sure.
We need to practice. We need to be ready.
We do need practice. I mean, part of the reason why we keep putting those reflection questions in the back of a bulletin for your own benefit or for a small group Bible study is just to pump the find the phone, so to speak. Yes.
Dave has had people come for week after week after week after week, and both of those sects. And if he doesn't preach at them. In fact, I don't think he even mentions the fact that he's actually a believer. But he asks them questions that they can't explain with what they said. And so they come back, and the next time they have some deacon with them or somebody else that's supposed to know something, eventually they give up. But it puts a lot of questions in those people's minds that they can't answer.
Right, and that is the way to be as shrewd as the snakes and as the doves. You don't have to pound it back at them with questions. Like I said, that when I had that incident a few weeks back with the two Mormons, the one was curious, but the other one was, you know, he wouldn't let the other one come by himself.
Just asking questions is sort of disarming.
Yeah. Or not right.
A bad thing, just
saying. Well, I mean, do you like talking to people who act like they know it all? And they got an answer for everything? Doesn't it get annoying? And you don't want to talk to that person? But so if we don't like that, why do we want to be in that? You may know the answer, but sometimes there's a time just to keep it in your mouth and let somebody else answer it. I mean, right? So, and part of that whole knocking on doors, we have to be sensitive there too. But some communities are against it, and we need to respect that. But if we don't like those people knocking on our doors and right in our face, when we knock on doors, that's usually why we take a step back. And, you know, we try to be disarming and ask questions, in a sense.
Jehovah's Witnesses now have another thing they're doing, though. They're not knocking on doors so much, maybe because of COVID, I don't know.
Right.
But they're sending me personal letters,
yeah.
Written personally to
the long letters.
Yeah.
Right, social media definitely is more, even praise and proclaim, and switch more than they switch social media, because more communities are against knocking on doors. Plus, with COVID, people actually look negatively at you now if you go to their door. So social media is easier, and you can get it out there to more people. And that's where, again, if there's like our Connect events, I mean, if we put it on our church site, you can take it and then connect it to yours, and then it spreads. Our mornings with Mommy group, they'll take that, but our information, and they'll spread it out. So, you know, what could have been 10 is now almost 700 of invitations. So it's just, those are some things to be aware of as well.
Yeah. I was going to say, I put where Audrey lives in Auburn. You know, she lives over there by the golf course.
And she pointed out that what the Jehovah's Witnesses were doing is they go and they knock on the door, and if it was kind of hopeful, they would put a little sticker on the mailbox. They did. All of a sudden, she pointed it out. There's a bunch of little yellow stickers, and the person would get a red sticker, which means they'll bother.
See, are you proactive in putting red stickers on here?
Yes, that's all. They had these little stickers all over the mailboxes.
That's interesting, right? And they do, like you pointed out, that they get to a point where you're marked. You know, they're not going to come to your door. Is that all I know somebody too? When they would come by, open up the garage door, they have a table and chairs ready to go. Hey, let's sit and talk. You know, after a while, they knew
that. Is that what you do?
No. But I take Dave's approach. I ask questions. They don't know I'm a pastor, usually. They don't ask.
Somebody in our neighborhood thinks so, I mean that. Because that's why they sent them here to our door. So they said, yeah, go knock on that house. They're gone every Sunday. They're sick. All right. Well, they sit on that door.
All right. Getting into the study of God's Word section so that we can grow in our Bible knowledge, hopefully feel more comfortable. Part of that is practice with fellow believers. Right? With a friend or somebody, like I said, taking out those reflection questions, working through them with somebody. It can be somebody who's not even physically present. You can do those online. There's different ways. I mean, that's just one starting point to help us grow in our knowledge and in practice talking with other people. Let's look at Colossians 4, verses 2 to 6. Colossians 4, verses 2 to 6. Anybody have that? There you go, Steve.
Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful, and pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message, so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ, for which I am in chains. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly as I should. Be wise in the way you act towards outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation always be full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone.
Thank you. So, beautiful summary of what we've been talking about. That word devote, literally persist in prayer, to present tense. Again, it's not a checklist, it's something that's ongoing. Be persistent in prayer. Pray for what? Wisdom.
Opportunity.
Right? That doors may open up. That we can make the most of opportunities that are before us. And help us recognize what is an opportunity. Help us have our conversations always be seasoned with salt, because if we emphasize, people are watching and they're waiting for you to trip up. And when we do trip up, as we will, that they also then see an example of contrition. You know, not trying to hide it. Now, number one, Paul encouraged the Colossians to be watchful. What were they to be watchful for?
Opportunity,
right? In the context, he's reminding them, because he's talking about the supremacy of Christ in the book of Colossians. You have had it all. Don't go back. And share this with others. So you have an opportunity to share Jesus, who is the supreme, with others. Let your light shine. Even when things are not going well in your life, make sure your light is still shining. Or as we talked about, at events or when you're shopping, always want to have that language that salt and likability. Number two, Paul was concerned that he proclaimed the message of God clearly. Why?
You want to make sure it was understood.
Okay, that it's understood. Ellie?
I was going to say to not distort the message.
Yeah, to not distort the message. Because that was going on then as it is today, that people are distorting the message. So pray that Paul remains convicted in the truths of Scripture and explains those truths clearly, because he knew that compromising the gospel was not going to work. It was not going to help anybody. He also knew, as we know, there are not multiple ways to God. So in a sense, there's really nothing new to the sun. What's being advocated today all around us was being advocated then, so it's the same solution and improvement that's needed today. This is why fellowship matters. Expound on that. This is why the doctrine of fellowship matters. With Paul's prayer.
It encourages me when other people, I'm around other people that are of my belief. So I'm encouraged, and by being encouraged, you can encourage others.
Okay, so a source of encouragement, especially when other around people who believe the same thing. Again, whether that be the local church or outside our church, we know there are faithful believers outside of our local church. We're thankful for that.
Well, I think like-mindedness is very important, because if somebody does choose to come into your midst at a church, for instance, they're going to hear the same thing from everybody.
Right.
They're not going to hear a different version of the Bible from that pew to this pew.
So consistency in message. I know I'll share it again. You know, people new to the faith in a different part of the country, new to the Welsh, and during Lent they rotated pulpits, and they were just impressed by how the message was consistent, focused on Christ, because where they had come from, it was the personality that mattered, not the message.
What kind of opened, when my thought came through this verses was, we both, who I'm witnessing to, and me, we both received the same gift. How do we respond to that? Here's how I respond to it. Wouldn't that be a good opening? Here's how I respond to that gift. I praise God with all my heart, my mind, my soul. Why do I do that? Because the gift is so precious. And that would, to me, would open up a door for them to look at it differently. Not, the focus wouldn't be on me, but on Christ and what the Bible says.
So again, what you're emphasizing, the opportunity to witness, kind of like what the psalmist said, I'm talking about the praiseworthy deeds of the Lord, and I'm talking about that first and foremost, and then the person who's with me will go, why are you saying that? Well, then let me expound on that, right? And that's why we've said, our Christian counselors that we work with frequently, that mix it up a little bit, instead of starting with the law and not the gospel, and the law again, start with gospel. Now, why do we need that gospel? Let's get into the law. And then we'll go back to the gospel and as the motivator to follow the law. Right? So to get people engaged in the thought process. What else? Why else do we need the doctrine of fellowship?
One of the things I Lori's dad was here last Sunday when you were gone. And I said, how'd you like the new young man? He said, I've seen a dozen or so of you, your pastors. He said, they're all good. And he said, they're well trained. That's a nice thing to hear. We're in here. That's what we need, though. We need that leadership to help us to go on, too.
Right, that's why we don't want to take shortcuts in our pastoral training. Right? Because there is an opportunity to weed out those who are not as faithful, but it's an opportunity to be more mature and to grow in that. Right? Yes.
So back to fellowship.
Yes.
Fellowship should indicate agreement. And so that's why we want to be careful, that if we are in fellowship, we have studied and we are in agreement in doctrine.
Right, agreement in doctrine, that's the clarity. Because when people hear the term Lutheran, what do they think of? Helka. And the doctrine of fellowship needs to apply with Helka. Now we're not saying they're not faithful people in the ELCA. But the ELCA officially does not stand in line with God's word and with us when it comes to inspiration and view of creation and marriage and so forth. So if we're in fellowship with ELCA, for example, and we're sharing mission opportunities, and their representative is saying, it's okay to have the same partner, same-sex partner, and we say it's not, well, now we're confused. How are you standing together? So part of our witness would be helping people understand that not all Lutherans are practicing the same thing.
I think part of the other side of encouragement, though, is accountability. And that's another reason that we need to stay together, because, that's important. in our writing.
Yeah, accountability, right? Another reason why the words of Hebrews bear the theme, let us not give up meaning to the other, but encourage.
I don't think our country understands Lutheranism. When we speak of Christianity, they think of Baptist, Catholic, Presbyterian, Methodist. Lutheran aren't even in the picture.
Right.
I don't think they understand what we teach.
Correct.
We need to put ourselves out there and present what we believe.
That's an opportunity to witness, right? So part of our witness, our goal would be to help them understand, yes, we are Christians, but we are Lutherans, Lutheran Christians, and here's why. And it really stands in those three truths. Right? That distinguishes us from the other churches that are out there.
They also, though, that I have heard over the period, not a lot, but too many times, is that when they hear the name Lutheran, they think that we're worshiping Luther.
Right.
You know, they think, well, you're just worshiping the man, not a God.
And so it becomes an opportunity to explain the role of Luther. But yeah, that's what we emphasize. We are Christians. We're followers of Christ. But we also have a Lutheran emphasis. And what is that Lutheran emphasis by grace and so forth?
If I'm talking to someone about Paul, they're a Christian too, and they don't think it's a young Lutheran. Conservative, Wells is a synod, and it's, by the way, very conservative, old Christian.
Mm-hmm.
Because I see in the and over the years that when I mention I'm a Lutheran, you can see there's kind of like, oh, I think they're maybe
Help. Right. Which is good. You know, many people will think that, you know, yeah, that's what we mean by Lutheran. It even can be confusing, too, when we say we're of the Wisconsin Synod. Because ELCA has a Wisconsin Synod. I mean, that's how they break down there. So they go, oh, you're ELCA. So I'm at the missionary conference, talking to the missionaries. Again, people who aren't familiar with church bodies, denominations, Lutherans, and so forth, we'll say we're part of a national church body because they don't understand Wells. I mean, we'll get to that, you know, explanation, but just to get in the door, you'll say, yes, we are part of a national church body. As I mentioned a couple weeks ago when we started down the Elk Grove mission, the elkgrovelutheran.com, just a simple one-page website, but on that website we put Wells Norcal, other Wells Norcal locations. Part of that was emphasized, it's not just a fly-by-night mission opportunity here in Elk Grove. We're part of something already established in the NorCal area. And so we list those locations. So part of that is just helping where you're at. Some of the old assumptions have to be checked, maybe even tossed aside. Because meeting people where they're at, that's what Paul would say too. I've become all things to all people. I don't become an anti-God person, but I really have a kind of deal with anti-God people. How do I address?
I've written a book and it said, Luther had a black pope. That caught my attention real quick. He said, yes, it was the word of God on paper and ink.
Yeah, that's true.
That's a good one you can use with people.
Yeah. Good way to put it, yeah. All right, so important for us to proclaim the message clearly. Number three, Paul wrote, be wise in the way you act toward outsiders. How would you say that in your own words? Anything different from what we've said already?
Just what you do every day, how you act and what people see.
Okay. Just every day, how you act, what people see. Again, do we see people as prospects? First of all, they're redeemed souls, whether they believe it or not. But they're prospects, so again, the importance of being salt and light. And how they speak of injustice. You know, you mentioned like conversations on the golf course or whatever. Even with politics, again, we can talk about politics, we can talk about religion, but how do we talk about such? And again, if we're putting down leaders and so forth, that's not building blocks towards witnessing down the road. You know, again, we're not into sheep stealing. So if we're talking to somebody who's a believer in Jesus, we'll encourage them in the walk of life. We're especially going for those who don't have a connection to Jesus already. And then, as we said, time and place. You know, we do want to be sensitive to the where people are at, to their needs. If they're going through a difficult time, may not want to say the first thing, well, it's because you're a sinner that you are going through this difficult time. You know, we might say, yeah, find a different way to get to the point. Yes.
It's good to keep track of how outsiders are viewing things. I just was thinking, 20 years ago, we gave everybody a hug because you need a hug today and hugs are wonderful. But nowadays, I don't think people want a hug. They want you to stay 6 feet away. So it's good to keep your finger on the pulse, and that's hard to do.
Right.
You don't always know how they're taking you.
No, that's an excellent point. I remember in the workplace even years ago, where we had a guy who was a hugger. He was, but HR kept getting on him. Stop doing it. Because especially the women were complaining, even though the women knew what he was up to. He was not looking for a feel, he was just giving up. But they just said, you can't. You know, right? So being sensitive, being alert. Which kind of leads to number four in the last 30 seconds here. What differences come to mind when you think of grace and salt? Right? Grace is, how would you describe grace? Soothing, right? Kindness, compassion, and so forth. Putting the best construction while also getting to the point. Salt.
There's two answers. One is a preservative, and the other could be a stranger that can hurt. Salt in a wound.
Right? Salt in a wound can hurt. In this case, Chuck?
It sharpens the taste.
Sharpens the taste, right? Preserving. So again, salt will be using the general topics as a way to get to the main topic. So being salt, being sharp, right? The flavors. The great exchange is something that we could also talk about. Hey, do you like to draw? Have some fun with this, draw this great exchange. And then as you're drawing the great exchange, you can laugh at your artwork, but then also share what that means. How do they draw human beings? Like stick people, or are they really good at it? Bottom line, we want to put ourselves in a situation where we'll have an opportunity to talk to that person again. Now, that may not always be the case, but depending on the situation, that's our goal, is to have them come back to us. Next week, Lord willing, we'll continue with this Word in My Life, the application of this. God's blessings on your conversations and actions that they may be enforced. On the way out, just another reminder of friends who need Jesus, or put them in your fridge, your desk, whatever, take pictures of it, or put it